Before we get to this week's edition of The Wiggle Room, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at ZipRecruiter. And a lot of people are out there looking for great talent, the same way that we're looking for great talent in The Wandoff. But it's not as easy as what we get in The Wandoff each week if you're hiring. ZipRecruiter knows there's a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for and finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there, just like the immunity idols. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God, can you believe it? As you are listening to these soft and sultry words, you may be in the sky right now. Mm-hmm. You're very likely in some sort of vehicle headed toward the great land known as Boston, Massachusetts, as you are preparing to settle in for a round of live know-it-alls action. This is your final Survivor podcast of the week.
Is this a face story?
Event. This is going to be such a lovely time for all of you, and I'm so happy to be here to provide you some company as you are finishing your commute. I assume everybody listening to this is to the Boston know-it-all, so just a little quick hello and goodbye. Yeah. In that regard, before we start today,
that's a very select portion of the audience, because there's only like 300 seats in the theater and there's a lot of people that live in Boston. So there's not that
more than 300 people listen to this. How many people?
400
to this.
400.
400 people. Yeah. OK, well, to the 100,
if we get 400 wand offs.
Yeah, I thought that was all from like two people, though.
Yeah, well, there's some doubling up, but no.
Okay.
So anyway, Josh, here we are ready to talk about Survivor after episode number 9. And we are past the halfway point of Ghost Island. We're starting to see that the Survivor finish line is not only around the corner, Josh. I think that we are now just about a calendar month away from the finale of Survivor Ghost Island.
You know, these Survivor seasons, they go so fast. You know, there's so much buildup and anticipation as you are waiting to get into Survivor mode. And then the season starts and it just trucks along and it goes so fast. It just jolts right along. And here we are now in the home stretch with just a few episodes left to go. So many players to send to Ghost Island, to send to Ponderosa, and only one will walk away with $1 million, unless Survivor decides to reverse the curse on America's Tribal Council and give somebody else an extra $1 million at the end of the season. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I believe actually 1 month from today, as we're recording this, April 23rd, I believe May 23rd is going to be the Survivor finale. So we've got a lot of work to do between now and then. And so, Josh, here we are. Here we are, ready to Libby, Requiem for Libby.
Oh, my gosh. Libby, my favorite, my number one on the board, is gone.
Yeah. You were out there in Fiji. You talked about the stone cold Libby, how she looked
assassin
at Stephanie Gonzalez right in her face while everybody else was afraid of Stephanie Gonzalez.
Sad.
And now Libby is gone too.
Libby is gone. Libby is gone. Just getting an early one.
Don't jump the gun.
Sorry, I apologize to all of you haters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. So much for all of that. A lot of hype for really just, you know, 3 tribal councils in a row getting votes and not really understanding why that was happening. And then boom, she's gone. That's it. Libby's done.
Yeah. you know, she had an interesting arc, if you want to say, in the season, where I think that she was kind of built up to be a character in the second night of the show, actually the episode three of the season, where there was the Morgan vote. And there was, you know, the business about, hey, us Catholic girls need to stick together. Don't trust the cute blonde, y'all. Hey, everybody, watch out for Libby. Hey, even Dominic contributed to that of, hey, she is a devil in an angel's body. But ultimately, we really didn't see anything of note, right? People seemed scared of her, but...
Really, like, I did... feel like walking away from that first tribal council, I was like, man, Libby is stone cold, as I have talked about extensively. And I thought that the move in the third tribal council to turn her back on Morgan and decide to throw her lot in with the Malolos, I still thought that that was, you know, I still think that that was a really compelling move, especially if they had then proceeded to lose a couple of votes intentionally and really take control of the game. But that's neither here nor there. But other than that, there wasn't a ton that you really saw from Libby to really make the case of her being a very strong and dangerous player, other than what was being said about her, the fact that she was getting votes. People seemed to be threatened by her. But even in her exit press, such as it is, it doesn't really seem like, you know, she's not talking about the events as though she had, that she had like kind of like dark designs on anybody, right? Like there's nothing like that. It really does feel like she was as confused as to why she was being targeted as anybody else, which is, I don't know, you know, not necessarily a great sign of Libby having a ton of agency as a Survivor player.
Yeah, for whatever it's worth, she just did not seem to have any allies that really trusted her, that we saw Donathan saying a week ago it looked like that him and Libby were close, and he's saying, don't tell her the plan, and Michael doesn't include her on the idol and ends up, you know, in fact, he plays an idol which ends up getting rid of her, and they were supposedly a showmance, and maybe Jenna, the two of them might have been close, but we really didn't see any of it on the show. So ultimately, Libby, we barely got to know you.
We barely got to know Libby. It would have been nice to have some clarity on some of that stuff. Like the Michael thing really did feel like it came out of nowhere. There was some like preseason stuff of like Michael and Libby, like both thinking the other person was attractive and their type and all of that. But it never really...
That's some postseason stuff.
It never really bared out on the show, except for like that one casual line of like, oh, they're a power couple, you can't trust them. And also the Donathan thing of like, oh, don't tell Libby, she's going to sell you out. Like that didn't really feel like it was rooted in anything that we were allowed to see. So ultimately, there is this lingering enigma surrounding Libby as she exits the game. Mm-hmm. Like there's just like sort of this murkiness about the character as she was represented on screen that I'm not going to spend a ton of time like really thinking about in terms of like how to.
Yeah, this will probably
that,
be it.
But
yeah.
You know, we'll talk about her again whenever the evolution of strategy comes up. That's about it, I think.
One interesting thing, though, about the original Malolos and the ones that ended up switching to Navidi back earlier in the season when we went from the original to the swap tribes, that in Laurel and Donathan, they are the two Malolos that still like seemingly have a shot at going deep into the game. And they were the two that they had that moment where they said, hey, should we work with Chris? Like, what are we doing? Like, I like Wendell and Dominic. Should we work with those guys? And of the rest of the Malolo people, even James and Libby, who were part of that swap where they ended up taking out Morgan and leaving Angela in the game, it seemed like from at least what we saw in the episode that they were less likely to go along with the idea of saving Dominic and Wendell. And it does feel like that the Malolos that jumped ship early to make a Malolo Navidi alliance seem like they're the two that are in the best shape moving forward.
Yeah, well, so Michael is obviously in a very bad spot right now, you know, having just played the effing stick, and he's unprotected as a result. Jenna is still, you know, seemingly probably in good with Sebastian for the time being, but you got to wonder, like, how much sway does Sebastian actually have?
She doesn't seem like she's in particularly good with any of the power players in the game.
Right, exactly. But, you know, just by process of elimination, that does leave Donathan and Laurel, who are the only two other Malolos standing at this point. And they seem to be in a pretty good place with Dominic and Wendell, but they also seem to be in a place where they just are out of other options. So even though they seem to be like primed to potentially go pretty far, if they can keep that relationship under wraps, if all four of those people really do trust each other to the extent that it seems like they do, that's great. That buys them more days and more time on the show. But at some point, like, Laurel and Donathan have to figure out something to break out from underneath just being, I think the optics on that is that they're just going to be like the two Malolos who survived, but what did they really do to earn their seat at the table at the end of the day, other than just like latching on to Dominic and Wendell? I think that's just kind of what it looks like at the very least, whether or not that's reality.
Yeah, but I do think that the lesson is, and this may be unfair to James because we don't know exactly what he was up to and what he would have, you know, he seemed like he was in tight with at least Laurel and potentially Donathan, and may have been, along for this ride had he stayed with them. But I think that if you are part of, you know, these big tribes, these tribes of like 9, 10, and you're down the first couple of numbers and there's a swap, I think you should jump ship immediately. Like, try as hard as you can to get in with the other group. Like, don't even worry about taking out the numbers from the big group. And you need to just get the target off your back so you're not one of the first people that they go for.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the bigger lesson, you know, hindsight being what it is make that move against Morgan and then throw challenges while you have the ability to do it and get rid of, you know, Chris or Angela or Dominic or Wendell while you can. Because I think that the very unfortunate thing is that Malolo just got steamrolled. You know, numbers just did not break their way. They had bad luck. That cursed orange buff, you know, was really not helping them out. Everybody who was unfortunate enough to have that buff at the start of the game, there was just like some blowback that occurred. I think it's more a matter of a bunch of bad breaks and then not capitalizing on their best break, which was easily after that third tribal council. I don't know. You know, I think like in terms of automatically like throwing in with the rival tribe, yeah, maybe that gets you further. But, you know, it also, that's going to really like sour your reputation with the original people that you started with. Mm-hmm. And like, is that your move? Like, that's
yeah, but hopefully most of them will be pre-jury.
I guess.
I mean, if Laurel and Donathan are able to pull this off and, you know, get to Final Four with Wendell and Dominic, I feel like that, you know, I don't want to be too results oriented, but I feel like that they got pretty far. I mean,
if that's the goal, is to get pretty far,
that's step one. That's the first goal.
Right. But, you know, you get that far.
You can't win unless you get far.
I suppose. I think that's, you know,
the first hurdle you have to clear.
Obviously true, but it also matters who you get there with and how you get there. So it's a complicated formula. Before we leave the topic of Libby, I just want to lament the fact that it took this long to realize that if she was, like, say she took Laurel's place and was a really tight ally of Donathan's, we could have had a great alliance name in Donathan Libby.
Donathan Libby.
Yeah, is the arch enemy of Wanda.
Yes.
Someone has to have gotten there first. I got to imagine someone got to Donathan Libby before I did. But if not, shame on all of us.
Is he the archenemy of Wanda, or is he, why? Because he kind of like threw shade at Wanda that he was annoyed that he got voted like the same treatment as her.
Yeah, I don't know if Donathan.
Like, I get it about Wanda, yeah. But me, me.
Yeah,
I'm Donathan Libby.
Probably upset because Donathan Libby does not have the same notoriety that that Wanda enjoys these days, the same lingering reputation. Mm-hmm. There's no Donathan Libby off.
No.
You know?
No. And he also spent 38 days with Wanda at the Ponderosa, the Wanderosa.
Yeah, that sounds like a dream come true.
Okay.
Paradise in Palau.
All right, Josh, let's talk through the headlines of all the big stories from this week in Survivor. And let me ask you about Angela's big coming out party. She was somebody that we really knew almost nothing about. She was kind of almost invisible. But then she has had a, as Stephen Fishback likes to call, the visibility spike in the biggest of ways.
Yeah, this was fun this week. And like the way that Angela has been sort of portrayed across the show so far, it feels like the experience that I had out there with her in Fiji, where like she sat down, she's kind of a little slow to warm up. Like you got the sense that she was kind of like not really feeling the press thing, that this was not really something that she was psyched about. And as I'm sitting there across from her, I'm wondering like, okay, well, how does that translate to television? Is this somebody who's not really going to pop? And then over the course of the interview, like I felt like her coming out of her shell more and being a really engaging personality. And she did like this really like funny like hooting and hollering scream thing when we did like some of this like hey, congratulate your future self on winning. She had like this huge woo that she just like shouted in the jungle. And I walked away from that interview like feeling like, okay, Angela might secretly be great. Like this could actually be really fun. And that's sort of been the arc of her on the show so far, is that like she's very quiet at the start, and now she is like going like full wanner, you know, like she's going on a mission and she's setting people up and she's not to be underestimated. I don't know. I have no idea where it's going to go with Angela, but I really enjoyed this. And I think that this was, you know, this storyline in this episode in particular, and as it continues to be a developing story for a little while, hopefully, is, I think, one of the benefits, one of the beneficiaries,
yes,
of the way that the story has been told this season, where there have been a lot of like big personalities that have been well molded at this point, that have been, you know, really put out in front of the story. But there are also these smaller side characters who have been kind of like simmering beneath the surface, who now that we're in like the post Noble era may, you know, have these visibility spikes, as Stephen likes to say, may have this increased appearance and maybe even increased importance. You know, if not for Michael playing that idol, Angela's plan goes all the way and she slays a really powerful player in the game. So I'm very excited to see where this goes for her. I thought she had an excellent week and it was really fun to watch.
Okay, so Josh, who do you think is most likely to be the new Angela? Who is the next person to have this really big personality explosion that we never saw coming and does not end up getting voted out in that same episode? I'm going to give you three people. Okay, you tell me from, rank them from most likely to least likely. Okay, I want to hear about A, Jenna, B, Chelsea, or C, Desiree.
I think that Desiree has had moments like this already. I think that Desiree has had a few occasions where. I think was it the James Tribal Council, like throughout that episode, like I really thought there was a strong possibility that it could be Desiree going home, because she's kind of you know, she's coming out of her shell more in that episode. So I actually think that the Angela thing that we've just seen, I feel like that's already happened with Desiree and could certainly happen again. I think that she's somebody who I feel like I've got a better handle on her than I do Chelsea and Jenna. I think it would be very fun to see Chelsea really surprise a lot of mm-hmm. people, and to suddenly start getting like a litany of Chelsea confessionals in an episode where she commands a vote, carries it all the way through to the end of the line, and is successful in whatever her plan of attack is. I think that there's a lot of secret internet love for Chelsea. I think that she is somebody who
the internet love for her say?
I certainly see like on Reddit, it seems like Chelsea is like bubbling up as like a Reddit favorite. You know, definitely getting like the hashtag queen of sitting treatment already. Mm-hmm. I think it would be fun to see her come out of her shell. And I think that would be a fun subversion of a Survivor trope of like the purple edit, only for that to suddenly, you know, become a completely different color. That would be incredibly fun to watch with Chelsea. And I think it's likelier than it is with Jenna, unless there's like something that's going to happen with like a big Jenna and Sebastian story, if that actually manifests on the show.
But I feel like we'll get it from his perspective.
I think so too, unfortunately for Jenna. I think that, you know, we had that opportunity last week with Jenna going to Ghost Island, and for the first time somebody is sent to Ghost Island and the show does not give much of a shit. You know, it's, unfortunately for her, they really gave
her
nothing.
Coming to Ghost Island, it's obviously, you feel like, what's the point if I'm not going to play a game?
Yeah, exactly. What is the point? You know, even including that on the show is really is kind of mean, but sort of hilarious. But I think that there's potential for something like this with Chelsea, who, when she has been seen, I think you see her much like Cassandra Franklin at the hub of a lot of decisions. Like, I think you see her in strategy talks. I think you see her in the group huddles. We've seen some moves that have been at least somewhat attributed to Chelsea in the telling of the story, even if Bradley Klaige would disagree in terms of his exit press. So I think that Chelsea is somebody who could potentially pop. I'm not banking on it, but I think it's a possibility. And so of the ranking, I would say probably Desiree, Chelsea, Jenna.
I'd have it the same way. I would disagree that I don't think that Desiree has had a breakout moment yet on the show, but I do think that she has the most potential to have one where, and she's, you know, featured in the next time on Survivor. So maybe this could be the week where we end up seeing more of a Desiree themed story.
That'd be fun. That'd be great.
Yeah. But because I also think that she has the biggest personality of the three. She said things like in confessional, even in like a secret scene or two, there's a secret scene where she's pretty funny, where that they're trying to go, the Malolo are trying to get her to flip, and she says something like, "Do I look like I'm stupid?" Like, it's you know, she's as the biggest personality, so I could definitely see it happening with her. And then I do think that Chelsea, I think, has the more interesting personality than Jenna, and I think that there is that potential that we end up seeing it, just because I think that Chelsea is more quirky than Jenna is, and I'm basing that off of the show and not necessarily anything on Instagram.
I think the other thing with that too is that Chelsea is, you know, part of the Navidi majority, and unless like we're going to get something from Jenna's perspective where she is able to work with the Malolos and do some sort of, you know, underdog uppercut against the Navidi majority, like I just don't see the show taking a real opportunity to tell that story for Jenna, which is, you know, disappointing for her for sure. She seems great, but just the show does not seem to be that interested in her. And we've now had like that moment where the show could have had that moment with her, and it opted not to do it. They had, you know, a full day of footage of her on Ghost Island, and they didn't give us anything meaningful. I think that's pretty telling.
Sticking with Jenna and Seabass, who do you think is voted out first of that pair? And is it close?
I think just with the way that it's been breaking for Malolo, like I think that your, you know, instinct would probably tell you that Sebastian is the type of person who goes before Jenna. But I think Sebastian could be here for a bit, like especially like if these people have like, you know, if they're hoping to eat and they think that this seafood entrepreneur might be their best bet of catching some lobster out there, and he's not strategic at all and does not seem to be caring about the game in that regard, I don't think that he's much of like an endgame threat. He's maybe somebody who can win some challenges potentially, I guess. Like, he's obviously very physical, but he's part of the Navidi majority. He is a potential provider. So I think Sebastian outlasts Jenna. Maybe that's a hot take.
Sebastian outlasts Jenna? No, I don't think that's... I mean, I feel like I would say the same thing, because I feel like that Jenna as a original Malolo just has less ties to people in the game. I think that while it may cause a rift where Sebastian might say, hey, why are we getting rid of Jenna? Like, I want to keep her around. And maybe that creates problems for Navidi, but I could see a situation where she is somebody who is deemed pretty expendable after Michael.
It just depends on how boring is the remainder of this season going to be. You know, like,
I feel like that there could be a boring underbelly coming.
Right. Like, is it going to be Navidi strong, and it's just going to be a matter of like getting rid of Michael, getting rid of Jenna, getting rid of, you know, do Laurel and Donathan escape this? Or will there be a more imminent implosion within the Navidi majority? You know, we've already drawn blood against Chris. Will there be more purple blood spilled? And if so, Sebastian does strike me as somebody who would be like a really unexpected target, because that's not somebody who you're really suspecting is running around looking for idols, somebody who's not really seeming to, like, you know, get in on like the conniving, the scheming. He's not the connivious pirate that he has hyped himself up to be in the preseason so far. And if you go after that guy, like, that feels like a safe target for upending some of those dynamics, if that's something that ends up happening. So that would be the situation where I could see him going before Jenna. But I hope I'm wrong. I feel like, I'm going into this week, you got to think that, like, a Malolo is going, and it could even be Jenna this week. I would not be shocked.
I mean, I think the odds on favorite going to this week would be Michael, who right. ends up playing the idol successfully this week. Can you see a story where Michael ends up making a deep run in this game? And what does that look like?
I think it looks like finding more idols. You know, he's already found two. You could see him winning some challenges potentially to contribute to that. But I think without those assets in his possession, like either a challenge earned necklace or the discovery of some other idol, I think he's in trouble. But that being said, like, it, you know, you've talked about this extensively. I don't know how much we've really talked about it, but like the people who are left in the game and who can you actually see being the winner of Survivor Ghost Island, that conversation of like who's out there that fits that, really, it is fairly thin. And Michael is one of the people that you could see having the size of story to pair with a winner. Like, I also think that it's, like, you know, very Malcolm-esque. So you can imagine him having like a similar story to him, even if it ended sooner than Malcolm, even if it was more like Karamoan Malcolm than Philippines Malcolm, where he goes like early jury, I think is totally possible. But he is one of those people who has been portrayed as playing hard enough with an emotional enough story that I think that you could see him winning, which is why, like, if he's taken out at this stage, like if he's taken out this week, that pool just really, really thins. And I don't know, with so much Survivor. So I know we talked about how like the finish line is in sight, but there's still, like, you know, 4 or 5 weeks left of the show. I feel like it feels early for him to go. But in terms of how he survives, like, it really does have to come down. I think he needs to get some of these relics. He needs to go Ghost Protocol again.
In the immunity challenge, Michael Yerger said that he wanted to go eat the rest of the Mother of Pearl because he's probably only going to get to play Survivor once. Right. I disagree with that statement. I think that he will play again. Josh, should Michael Yerger wait and then play when he's actually 23? Like, well, now I'm really 23 and I'm back.
Look, I think that Survivor is...
And I'm going to say I'm 18.
I think Survivor is really interested in rookies right now. I think that Survivor is really enjoying throwing.
Well, this is 6 years from now.
You know, it is. I think in 6 years, is Michael going to play Survivor again? I think that is not impossible for sure. And I think certainly of this cast, of which there have been a lot of people who you could imagine playing again, Michael stands out in that list. But I think Survivor right now isn't as interested in the returning player thing as it's been in, frankly, the recent past. I think that they're really very happy with how these new casts are coming together. And I could see Survivor really staying in that direction until 40, at which point, you know, you got to imagine something legendary would happen to 40, even though that's what we said going into 30, and it was legendary for different reasons.
It's the 40th season, but it's also
just the 40th,
just the 40th season.
Right. So, but I mean, you would think that they're going to do something.
Now 41.
Yeah.
Let's do something.
Yeah.
Let's get crazy.
Yeah, 41st chance. You know, who knows? But I thought that I liked that sentiment from Michael, because I think that that's the attitude. I imagine it's the attitude that Survivor wants from its players right now. Play like it's your only time you're going to play Survivor, because it very likely is. Even a guy like Michael, who is going to be like a declarative fan favorite coming out of this season, maybe he's not going to get that, you know, slam dunk shot just because of the way that the show is trending.
And it was a great moment on the show, but do you feel like that was he baiting people to put the votes on him because he was going to play his idol that night? You think he realized, like, as soon as I didn't win immunity, okay, I'm playing the idol tonight. And it's like, oh, I guess this is it for me. End of the road. Would have liked to have stayed, but what are you going to do?
If he's going to do that, then
my last day on Survivor ever.
Doesn't he come up with some better counter plan? Like, if that's his move, if his move is to draw the vote, then shouldn't there have been like some more effort to take out a target of his choosing from the Navidi side of the line? If that was what he was going to do, I think that he,
I don't think he could trust anybody. I mean, he wrote down Wendell's name. I think he was hoping that maybe it would be, you know, 11 votes on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe, he should have trusted somebody.
Don't trust the cute blonde. Who did you want him to trust?
I guess.
Don't trust Ange.
I guess. I don't think that he had a lot of confidence that things were going to work out with him in control of the situation. He really did seem pretty bummed to play the stick. I don't think that he wanted to play the stick that way. Yeah. Major bummer.
Yep. Josh, one more thing that I want to ask you about, and this is something that I think just was really fun in the episode because it's sort of strategy, but it's story, and it's something that I think a lot of people can relate to in terms of the conversation between Wendell and Laurel in the episode. And I would just love to get your take on, from the perspective of both Wendell and Laurel, how you think it went.
I loved it. First of all, just as a scene, I thought it was great. I think, you know, I've certainly been thinking it's looking pretty good for a Wendell win. I think that, you know, like the way that they allowed Wendell to just, like, you know, stomp all over Chris on Chris's way out the door. And just in terms of who are the characters that have the story right now to really sustain a win, Wendell seems like he's really high on the list. So I really like his shot to win the whole thing, but then this week happened, and I do think that, like, he was kind of presented in a way where, like, Wendell seems like he's doing awesomely, and he seems like he's feeling really good about how he's playing, and he feels like he can really trust Laurel. But Laurel's side of the conversation reveals that his read on her is not 100% right. And I really enjoyed seeing that fallibility in the story arc for Wendell, when he really seems like he's somebody who could just walk his way to the end on charm alone. And the fact that he has an idol in his, I was going to say back pocket, but it probably doesn't fit there. He has an idol somewhere. Mm-hmm. From Laurel's perspective, I like seeing her entertaining the notion of striking out against Wendell and Dominic, even though it is, as you said to somebody else, it kind of is like the Exile Island alliance, you know, from Token Machines, like that cross tribal alliance that nobody knows about is sort of coming to fruition. And that's really cool. But it's not going to work out for her if nobody knows what she's doing. If her game is too close to the vest, I think it's similar to what people said about my boy Devin last year, of somebody who was like playing a really great game behind the curtain, but you didn't know. And so that guy's not going to be rewarded. I feel like maybe a similar thing could be happening here with Laurel, which is why I really want to see her do something that really lets her break out, because I love Laurel and I really want to see her succeed here. I felt like, you know, was she jumping the gun in terms of being like really annoyed with Wendell for, you know, choosing her to be the second person he revealed that he had an idol to? I thought that was funny. I think it makes some sense given Laurel's perspective on the game. Laurel had talked in the preseason about really wanting to be the person who knows the most about Survivor and knows the most about what's going on in the game in any dynamic she has with a partner. She really wants to be the dominant person in terms of what's happening, how are we going through, what is our course of action, what do I know that the people, not just who I'm playing against, don't know, but the people that I'm playing with, what do I know that they don't? And so I understand her frustration now, knowing that there are, you know, a couple of idols that have been played or discovered by the people that she has chosen to play the game with, and she is late to the information. I don't think she's like terribly late to the information. I think Wendell told her in an appropriate amount of time, and frankly for Wendell, maybe he just should never have told anybody any of this. But I understand it from Laurel's perspective why that's frustrating, given what her outlook on her role in the season, what she wants that to be. Like, that lines up, whether or not that's, you know, a correct outlook, or what the outlook should be, or the outlook that, you know, I would want to emulate. I don't know about that, but I think from her perspective, perspective, it made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, she's going to be a really fascinating figure to watch down the stretch, because I think in a lot of ways she's going to dictate the action in terms of where this goes. Will this just be Dominic and Wendell with Laurel and Donathan? Will this be a steamroll that ultimately makes those two guys look better? Or will this turn out to be much more of an interesting, you know, flip flop type of season?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be. I hope that she strikes out, because I think that that would be really fun to see. And I would really love to see Laurel like get that notch on her belt. I think of going after one of these guys, two people that seem to trust her completely. It's all about timing and like finding the right moment to make that happen. But it would be so much fun. It would be great television. It would be a great moment for her. I'm not super confident that we're going to see it, you know, just based on the way that the story is being told. But who knows? You know, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. All right. So we are getting towards the part of the podcast where anything can and usually does happen.
Usually does, yeah.
But first, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor for today's show. And those are our friends over at Songfinch. Told you about songfinch.com. last week, yes. Just like all of the creators in The Wandoff, Songfinch can create for you with a bunch of musical artists a unique song for you or a loved one or a friend for any occasion. They've got personalized songs starting at $99, and those songs are delivered within 7 days. You're looking for a thoughtful gift, and you know, you don't know any of these Wandoff superstars. This is the way to go. They've got a great offer right now where you can get 10% off a personalized song from scratch with the promo code Rob. Weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, Mother's Day and Father's Day is coming up. Newborn baby gift, all great occasions to bring a song into the world. You can browse the music also and select the perfect music, vocalist, and chorus that speaks to your heart. Share your stories to help shape the song's lyrics, and a selected vocalist will write and record two new personalized verses to make the song yours. So your song will live on a personal URL called your story homepage, where you can listen and download the song, read the lyrics, learn about your songwriter, and share your song. And you'll get this promo code for a personalized song for scratch, 10% off when you use the promo code Rob at songfinch.com. Go over to songfinch.com if you want to check out some of the samples that are available for you to see. Songfinch.com, 10% off with promo code Rob. Josh, you know, maybe this is an idea that maybe we should get into of working on, you know, you pick your Wandoff artist, you tell them the song, and then we get some sort of a commission on this.
Ooh, I like that. Or we commission a Songfinch song and have somebody, we'd like submit it for every Wandoff artist to do their parody of
yes.
that song.
And then here's what we do. You and I go on Songfinch. Yes. We end up using the promo code. We get the 10% off. We have the Songfinch musician write the song that's going to go into the Wandoff, put that song in the top five, and then when it gets votes, then we don't have to send out a hat.
Ooh, that's good. We get to keep one hat because I know you're a fan now.
So stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
That could be your hat. That could be the hat that you get to keep, and it's your way of winning a Wiggler's Wombat's hat. It's a genius idea. I love it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Josh, we are also getting close to the end of the regular season Wandoffs. We have only after today, but four regular Wandoffs the rest of the season.
Wow, that's crazy. And then we will be gearing up for the final Wandoff of the season, which is obviously a great and glorious tournament. Somebody online asked me within the last week if we could figure out how to do an off-season Wandoff, a Wandoff season. Mm-hmm. I feel like that feels appropriate. We're about to go into the long summer months. We can figure that out.
All right, we'll search, see if we can figure that out. Maybe that something out. Over the summer break.
One of Mike Bloom's many upcoming Survivor podcasts. I feel like we can make that happen.
We'll see. In between the Mike Bloom podcasts. We'll also get the logistics together of when the final Wandoff is going to be. Hopefully, we will try to get it all done much closer to the end of Survivor 36 than we did over the off season, and we don't have the holidays to deal with unless you count Memorial Day, but that's like a weekend. Okay, so another busy week in the Wandoff. We got to talk about first, who is going to win the Wigglers Wombats hat this week and the invitation to the final Wandoff. So let's go ahead and update the results from last week's Wandoff.
All
in
right.
Third place, it was JD and Leah with their cover of the Chris Noble rap song, The Noble One.
So it was a really strong Wandoff last week. I think on a lot of weeks that could be a number one. It was just a crowded field. That was a really impressive effort. My jaw was truly on the ground.
Yeah. Josh, were you surprised to see CBS take down the Noble One rap video?
Yeah. What's going on with that? Whose choice was that? Was that like a Chris call? Like, yeah, no.
I don't know. Well, I put out the call in the feedback show to send me your, if anybody knows anything, send me a message to tips@robiswebsite.com. Some people have been sending me in some theories already by email.
What have you got? What's the best theory so far?
Somebody said that maybe Chris Noble wanted to have it taken down. He didn't like it.
Yeah, that Chris Noble was a host the whole time. That's my favorite theory. Sorry,
he was upset. And there was also some theories that I'd rather not repeat. I think they're fake news, and I don't want to repeat them.
Get your alternative facts.
I don't want to spread these conspiracies.
Get
theories.
That out of here. I'm not into that. No way.
Okay, Josh, then let's talk about number two. That was 24.52% of the vote for JD and Leah. Number two was Graham from the Bay, an upset, I think. 26.24% of the vote with the Noble One Eminem parody.
Okay, so, oh God. A nightmare is about to occur, right? Like a personal nightmare is about to occur. Somebody's about to become part of Wombat Nation that I really don't want to become part of Wombat Nation.
This week, the winner of the Wandoff with a very balmy 33.91% of the vote. It's a repeat winner in Bob from Columbus featuring the Mayo Jar.
Call Dr. Mike, because we're going to get cocky. Recruit a group to drop some bars. Listen, all y'all, it's the Mayo Jar. Mayo Jar. Mayo Jar. Mayo
Jar. Josh, harden up. You can't stop me coming. I'll put you down for a threesome.
All right, we got the we know how the rest of that goes.
We got, you know how I said that there was going to be a 0.0% chance that my wife would ever have to find out that Nick Majorano had pitched her on a menage a trois in such a public forum. Then he goes ahead and he tags her in a tweet, and she was highly disturbed.
Yeah.
She found it
Watch
very
it,
uncomfortable.
Nick.
Yeah. Very uncomfortable. But all right.
He's going to get kicked off Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be a great mission to get Nick off of social media. Would be fantastic.
All right. An interesting phenomenon now in the Wandoff 2018 Ghost Island. We have back-to-back winners in Phil T., who took home the Wombat's hat for episode 5 and 6, and then Bob from Columbus with back-to-back wins in episode 7 and 8.
Also notable that this is the first person who has played Survivor, granted, who has never survived a tribal council, to win a wand off. Nick Majorano making history here.
So Nick gets a hat also?
I have to give Nick a hat. Nick has earned his way into Wombat's Nation. He put in the work. He put in the blood, sweat, and tears. I assume that there was a lot of blood involved because he's kind of the
Dexter. So the victor goes the spoils.
Indeed. I think the Mayo Man, he gets a hat. He can do whatever he wants with it. It is his to brutalize or to cherish. And that means, Nick Majorano, you got to participate in the final wand off. You know, this can't be a one and done. You've got to show up. You've got to play. You're in this now.
Okay. And then one other quick thing. Does Bob from Columbus get to make two entries, but one of them has to feature Nick Majorano? Is this too inside Schmergen Brawl right now?
No, I think if you won a wand off, if you've won multiple wand offs, I think you only need to create one track for the final wand off. But I think what has happened for Nick is Nick now gets to lead his own final wand off submission. He can bring
collaborators if he wishes. How is that?
But he now has to create his own song. Because it's better for entertainment. Let's just get into the rules.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and welcome in the host of the wand off, the late, great Casey Kasem.
Rob? It's a pleasure to be here. I've been swallowing sea slugs all week long just to get ready.
Have you been able to like hold them down with your ghost body? Like, does anything like process, or does it just like kind of fall through like Slimer?
Just like Slimer.
That's what we call the sea slugs.
This week, we've got another great jam-packed wand off for you to listen to. We'll start it off with Nicholas P, and Nicholas P wants to talk about Michael's hidden immunity idol.
Yeah, I'm not a stick. I am an idol. An effing piece of wood, but if you play me, I'll be good. Jeff will validate me. I'm not a stick.
This is not just a stick anymore. This is a real idol.
Josh, that was from an artist that I've got nothing for. If you've got one for us, email or tweet to Round Howard and at Rob Sesternino.
Yeah, no Survivor Britneys. Unless there's somebody so purple that I'm not even remembering. You don't want to go with Whitney Duncan Spears. No.
I've been trying to think of a good Britney Spears joke for 15 years. There's a point in Survivor the Amazon where we have a reward challenge, and I'm saying to the camera, like, the only Spears I know about are Britney and broccoli and asparagus. And even to this day, you know, broccoli and asparagus, that's the same thing. That's not even a good joke.
Yeah, you should have come up with a different spear.
Yeah. Well, 15 years later, I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next up, Josh, there were two big subjects that people wanted to talk about this week. Here is DJ Dave Ball talking about this week's immunity challenge.
I just want to eat that slug in one bite. Bradley's mouth is too small for one bite.
Oh, brutal. He's not even there anymore.
That was the van voted outfield.
That's so mean. He's gone. He didn't even make the jury.
He couldn't do it.
Leave his little mouth alone. Leave Bradley alone. Leave Bradley alone.
Next up is Andrew from Des Moines, and he also wants to talk about Angela in this week's challenge.
That sea slug brings Angela to the bar, and Jeff's like, she swallowed that whole, hold up, how is she divorced? She could teach you, she's the episode star. Next sea slug brings Angela to a hall, and Jeff's like, disturbing, yo, sea bass, what do you know? Let me tell you.
That was a hit song for Kellis not eating beef jerky. He's definitely chewing a blade of grass.
I hope that somebody came up with a Lady Gaga-rific for this week. Can you spoil
Don't
that?
Get
that
your hopes up.
Okay. Bummer. That would have been fun.
Okay. Next up is one of our listeners named Lyndall, and she too wants to talk about how impressed she was with Angela.
We can agree the food challenge is genius, but that thing looks like a penis. Choke it down, even if it's a John Thomas. Unless you're sugar, then don't touch it. Lassie Slug is the new effing stick, and Angie throwed it last night. Also, Seabass is hot.
Man, that's very funny. Oh man.
That was the latest hit for Wambulance.
That's great. Oh man. The whole recurring gag of Seabass has just been spectacular. And the line from Probst of Seabass is always high. It's just so that's so funny. Just they're very playful with that stuff. That was great. That was just a brilliant thing to include in the show.
We've got one more honorable mention about Angela. Here is the great Wandoff star, Alex G, talking about what she ate this week.
What you gonna do with all these slugs? All these slugs outside your tums? I'ma eat these slugs. Eat these slugs until I've won. Eat slugs, eat slugs. Eat slugs, eat slugs, eat slugs. Eat slugs, eat slugs, eat slugs. These lovely little slugs. Get them down.
It was like very straightforward, but very, very amusing.
That was another jam for the Clarence Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How many sea slugs do you think that he snuck away from the tribe?
Diane. Josh, you said you loved hearing all about Seabass. Well, we've got a couple of Seabass jams for you.
Oh, yeah.
First up, it's Not Your Wife, Nicole, talking about Seabass and his performance with the slingshot.
Slingshot and Sebastian was high every time. Can't land one for his tribe.
He cannot get it done. He is high every time.
Sebastian looks high all the time. Just look into his eyes.
Stony baloney, eat a bagel.
Man, if the seafood entrepreneurship doesn't work out for Sebastian, he's already got a deli meat line just like mapped out. Stony Bologna's is, you know, makes itself, doesn't cut itself. I don't think it's a self-cutting bologna. He's
no,
gonna
definitely
have to
not.
Do the work himself.
Another great one from Tove Malolo.
Oh man, we got more Seabass.
We've got more Seabass.
Oh, good.
Now, Josh, this was something you told me not to do anymore.
Oh God.
But we got two almost not identical in the lyrics, but the same song was parodied twice. And when one is sort of head and shoulders above the other one, like I know what to do. These two were similar in quality. And so I have another mashup.
You are literally flying to Boston in hours, a matter of hours from now.
Yeah, like 14
Spend
hours.
That time with your family. be with your kids. I know that you just had Nicole on the feedback show, but it doesn't count. Leave the studio. Be with your people.
Stop. Here is
mashing songs together.
Here is Taylor W. and Dental Dave with some more about Sebastian.
But if he can hit some blocks, he could have margaritas. He pulls back and takes a shot, but nothing's gonna happen.
Cause he's so high, cross of Ozzy, Jack Sparrow.
He's just a too high,
man flavored Laffy Taffy, Stoney the Lonely. So high, creepy eyebrows.
Their wandas matched up. It was beautiful.
But that was it. The keys weren't even the same. And it didn't even sound right. What are you doing with your life? So concerned for you.
I get a lot of questions from people like, why didn't my stuff get in the wand off? I just want to try to get as much in as I can, Josh.
Yeah, but you can't live your life that way. You have to look at it like you're giving them a wand off at all. Just be with your people. You're leaving town for 3 days.
That was Tal Reichenbachman. Josh, we've got one more song about sea bass, and it comes to us from Justin from Washington Heights.
He knows that he can't shoot no more, to let down try. He won't waste that team's time no more, cause he's high, high, high.
I do in this reward, I do. A team of alpha two to get the team of two.
Could have won if I was not so high, but I'm high, high, high.
Referencing, of course, only his slingshot aiming capabilities. At least he's not Steven Fishback.
Yeah, I really did try, but I'm high, high, high.
That was NSYNC featuring Justin Timberlake.
I am very much enjoying the mental image of just like super high Sebastian dancing alongside the members of NSYNC. That's great. He fits right in like a jib jab video created by one Dr. Mike Zahalski, because I had to say his name. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a podcast on RHAP.
That's right. Josh, it's time for this week's long distance dedication. We've got a letter, and her name is from Kate from New Jersey. She writes, "Dear Casey, I'm 11 years old, and I'm in the fifth grade. Attached below is my wand off. I hope this submission is not too late. I love to listen to RHAP almost every day. I especially like to hear all the fun wand offs each week. So I decided to make one of my own because I love to sing and do musical theater.
Wow.
And I know how Josh Wiggler likes the show tune wand offs, so I made one of my own.
Ooh, I like
this. I wrote the lyrics. I had the word idol instead of effing stick. But then my mom told me that I was allowed to use the phrase effing stick in the wand off. I hope you enjoy it. And one last thing, I'm a Mets fan, so let's go Mets.
Nice.
Please play my wand off for Josh Wiggler. Kate, you've got it. So here is a wand off show tune just for you from 11-year-old Kate from New Jersey.
If this is secretly Shut Up Tim, I'm going to be so mad.
Consider yourself, tone it out. Consider yourself part of the jury. Cause Michael's obviously going to play that thing stick. Consider yourself next on. Consider yourself out of the picture, cause Michael's obviously going to play Captain Stick. You knew you might get a couple votes, and that Michael might have an idol, but you went along
totally backfired. Consider yourself voted out. You're second on the jury. Four after some votes and an effing stick. Ponderosa's your new home.
That was great. That was really good.
11 years old.
Kate, that was fantastic. That was great. A real Oliver Twist to the Wand.
We love Twist.
Yeah.
All the fans love Twist.
The Arthur Dodger. Unbelievable.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Kate, for that.
Very, very good. Very fun.
Yeah. I can't believe that you thought I was setting you up for Shut Up Tim.
Oh, here he goes and says that as he sets me up for Shut Up Tim.
Hats, Joshy hats, wombat hats. They're worse than listening to one of Chris Noble's raps. Hats.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, you, Rob Sesternino, have now conceded that while the hat itself is average, it has a transformative quality once you place it upon your head. So Tim is yes. on a lonely island.
Yes,
here.
I heard it's similar to the hat that Frosty the Snowman had, which was not, you know, a great hat by any stretch of the imagination. But maybe
it has magical powers.
So
that,
perhaps
that automatically makes the hat fantastic. I'm feeling good and secure with the hat. Yeah, not so much earlier in the season. I'm feeling great now. I'm wearing it as we speak, in fact.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Josh, it's time for this week's top five wand-offs in the country. We'll start with number one. This week, Corey B. is back in the top five, and he wants to talk about this week's Survivor Immunity Challenge. Here is Corey B.
Be a survivor eating challenge without this. This is the beetle larva, the grub.
A grub's kinda like a piece of pie, and it pairs so well with my seafood. And I hear the entrepreneur say it's gagorific, bro. So no, Taco Hut is needed, no. I just want my living hors d'oeuvre, and no. Never gonna be defeated, no. I'm not gonna fail like Gerv, oh. Munching on this grub. A grub is a larva that's not so tough to eat. Come on, Wendell, didn't you try? Couldn't eat the fish eye. More nutrition for me. Now I've got sea slugs to shove down my throat while they're trying not to hurl. I know it's a family show, so I'm sorry, Michael. Holy mother of pearl.
Excellent. Out of the gate, shoved an entire slug down her mouth.
That was another hit for the group TLC Slug.
Very good. Always love to hear from TLC Slug. Always a pleasure.
And I especially love the artist Left Eye Ball Lopez.
Oh, my God. R.I.P.
Josh, number two in this week's Wand Off comes to us from a newcomer to the top five. Here's Adam from Australia, who wants to talk about Sebastian during the challenge.
Don't eat bologna, eat a bagel.
He's great already.
Sebastian cannot get it done. He is high every time.
Da, 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 da.
Gonna win reward, but I shot it high. I was gonna sling that bag at the target, but I slung it high.
High every time.
Now a bag of camp eating rice, no tacos for I.
Wow,
man. Because I shot high, yeah. I slung it too high. I always shoot high. I got a text, speech question mark, maybe get high.
Come on,
beach check it out.
Don't eat bologna, eat a bagel. I think we're high.
Don't eat bologna, eat a bagel.
That's a normal day for Seb when the sun's on the rise. Hey, hey, he always gets high. He shoots it too high. He always shoots high.
He's high every time.
That's amazing.
That was the latest joint from Afromanthe.
That's an incredible combination of human beings. Oh man. Oh god. I'm really glad that
did anybody ever see Afro Man? Did he ever appear anywhere?
He just did.
He just did.
Yeah.
Why, was he in hiding?
Yeah. Until this very wand off, yes. So great. That's incredible.
Is he touring in 2001, Afro Man? Who knows?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Afro Man anymore.
Okay. Josh, I know you're a fan of show tunes. What's your take on K-pop?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Here's Aaron Robertson solo. He's made it back to the top five talking about Michael Yerger.
Plank, plank, addos like a bent bomb, flip boom. Plank, plank, addos like a bent bomb, flip boom. Plank, plank, addos like a bent bomb, flip boom. Plank, plank, addos like a bent bomb, flip boom.
I'm the biggest threat. I'm the biggest threat in this game. I'm the biggest threat. I'm the biggest threat in this game. I'm the biggest threat. I'm the biggest threat in this game.
I'm the biggest threat. I'm the biggest threat in this game.
Pulled up from the back. Click, clack. I'ma do my thing. Digging, finding idols, taking names at 18. If you feel like this is ghost, put your hands up in the air. I dream of a day when there'll be wigglers, wombats everywhere. I got something here that Angela can't even stomach. It's your new bop, my kebab, and Levita. It's coming for you. Swallows you whole like your sea slug dishes. And if there's still some left when it's over, I'll come back and I'll finish it. 10 o'clock, deadlock, tick-tock, writer's block. My magic wand is off, trapped in a creative box. Hey, but that's okay, I get up and try again. Climbing the mountain and capture the days till I unlock top 5 again. Up all night, sleepless nights, I don't care. I'm alright, playing like it's my last time. They talked up, they've counted us out, but so what? Little low, low, low will rise for show and time. We're going prime, this is my Michael Bomb. I'm the youngest threat, I'm the youngest threat in this game. I'm the biggest threat, I'm the biggest threat in this game.
Yeah. You're happy and you know it, clap your hands
like a wombat.
You hating and you know it, clap your hands.
If you're suave and you know it, clap your hands.
Plank, plank, idols like a Michael Bomb, put it boom. Plank, plank, idols like a Michael Bomb, put it boom. Plank, plank, idols like a Michael Bomb, put it boom.
I have no idea what this band is, but this is a song from NCT Bird 127.
I can't help you there other than to say that was great.
But it was impressive.
That was very impressive. Great job, Aaron. The lyrics were actually excellent to the point that it makes me wonder, like, what was Kalish bringing to the table in this collaboration? With all due respect, Jordan, you know I love you, but like, you know. Aaron, you're fine. You're good, great on your own.
Number four this week, we have a return of Jenny and Colin back to the top five, and they're talking about the same guy, Michael Yerger.
Four, three, two, uno. Listen up, y'all, cause this is it. When Mike plays an idol, it's the effing stick.
Your galicious definition hottest from Malolo. He's selling houses, wooing spouses with his model photos. He is teenage but not teeny. He can pass for 23, and there's plenty more reasons he'll be back for future seasons. You're galicious.
So delicious.
His ID is suspicious. Must have taken high school gym to get that body's fitness. Can he flip this?
Oh, yeah.
After the votes be locked, all the players will be shocked when they see what he's got. His idol plays are vicious. When he pulls out his stick, it turns out to be Siska's Probst's witness.
Wow.
All those votes are block. If Libby voted with him, then they could have gone to rock. So delicious.
It's Wanda.
So delicious.
Corinne wants his teenage.
So delicious.
Liana said she'd hit that.
Wanda. Hit it, Yergi.
Gross from Challenge Eat the Chow. It's the final round. Angie's shoving slugs up and down, looking like she's the two of us now, and I'm trying to hold back vomit in this mama. She'd be thrown by the clan. I know the result is I have been defeated. Even though the challenge's done, I still want to eat it. But time will tell if I can beat Dom and Wendell. You know I'm your delicious.
I am in love with Jenny and Colin.
He's everywhere! Get out of my house, Dr. Mike!
That was another great single from Lisa Keyfergie and featuring Will I Amper.
Wow. I mean, you could have just said Figgy. That could have worked too. always a pleasure with Jenny and Colin. That was fantastic. That was great. Okay.
Number five this week, Josh, comes from a pairing of two of our Wandoff stars. She is a top five finalist this season, and he is a two-time Wigglers Wombats champion.
Wow.
Here is Phil T and Jess East together talking about Angela's performance in the challenge this week.
Yo.
Put it in my mouth.
She said, put it in her mouth.
Fish eyes in my mouth.
Fish eyes up in her mouth now.
Put it in my mouth.
She said, put it in her mouth.
Grubs all in my mouth.
Grubs all up in her mouth.
Put it in my mouth.
Put it in her mouth.
Sea slugs in my mouth.
Sea slugs are in her mouth. You wanna throw down, why not? I win this and I win the game on top. And tell them that my name is Cock. I'm really? Going ham, I'm born a slam, mother of pearl. But don't give me no bad excuse, baby, when I'm watching you hurl. I'm all about slug goblin, realty with the side of male modeling. If not, my mama sends me back to college. And grub game sick, I'm chewing faster than hell, I'm mad quick. But that slug looks thick.
I won't bite it, I won't chew it, I won't taste it. I'm eating everlasting, not gonna waste it. I'ma shove it down and then throw my weight around. Michael, get it done, you're young enough to be my son. Swallow it whole, about in half. Or maybe old, but now you've been told that your reading game is trash and that I'm the winner. Chewing it like that, boy, you're gonna lose immunity. Yo, I'm a tongue wiggler. Put it in my mouth.
She said put it in her mouth.
Look at the pearl going down.
It's going down.
Deep inside my mouth.
That was Ryan Aikenyeel.
Oh, God.
No idea how to pronounce that guy's name. Also, wow. Wishing that I would have told young Kate from New Jersey to turn off the wand off like 3 minutes ago.
Not since I ran over my own toe have I come so close to death during a podcast. I made the bad decision of taking a sip of coffee just as the song was starting and nearly choked on it as soon as the words "put it in my mouth" emerged. So I should not have put that coffee in my mouth. It was a mistake. And we're lucky I'm alive and I didn't die doing a podcast.
Will you cry from coffee just like Donathan and Chelsea
yes.
did?
Yes, and it won't be the first time.
Then, unreal. Josh, this one last song, it's outside of the confines of the top five, but we just heard from Phil T in the top five again this week.
Indeed.
So we have to offer equal time to someone who has a message for Phil T. Here is something extra from DJ LaBelle Klein.
Oh, snap.
You really want to do this? Okay. All right, it didn't have to come to this, but you done make me drop this. Witness me, drag Phil T. Who is he? Not a real OG. He came in season two, got a double dose of Wombat, but he shouldn't fight with me unless he up for Mortal Kombat. I'm Raiden, God of Thunder, and he just a happy G thug. I'm sending him asunder like Angela with a sea slug. Got my bag of tracks, is filling up with more rhymes. Yeah, he won it back to back, but I won this shit four times. He thinks he's spitting fire, reason he's a little punk. I won an entire season, Dr. Z's up in my junk. Perhaps a team might stand for Tupac. Let me spill the real tea. Dropping logic here like Tupac. He ain't Pac or Biggie. Dude, stop. I got you figured out like Tony. You rap about the noble one. You just a one-trick pony. I'm riding you like a derby horse. Like Seabiscuit, Seattle Slew. You writing songs that we heard before with no Chris. It will rattle you. Name drop like Noble. Say LeBron, Bosh, Bortles. I got hella cred because every time I'm on, Josh chortles. I think you better tap out because I hold my own in fight. Like my sharks are going to tear apart your Vegas Golden Knights. We knew another Philip and he couldn't win a vote. I'm a shepherd, you the slaughter, you the other kind of goat. Cause when I win handily, you barely get plurality. I smash your earn, no game for you, this game is through fatality.
Dude, Phil, your bars are lame. Your bars are lame, Phil, your bars are lame.
Okay. But Josh, what am I supposed to do? This isn't the show. This isn't the show. People fighting with each other in one. Like, that wasn't even barely about Survivor. Like, it's too good to not play it. I have a problem. I don't want to waste stuff that's good. I don't know what to do. But stop it. No more. Don't do this anymore. We're doing a contest about Survivor. I don't know what this is right now.
This is war. This is. This is beef. This is ghost.
It's a ghost.
Yeah.
What this is my favorite thing has been occurring. My favorite stuff is what we're dealing with here in the Wanda, which it's just so good. It's so great. Fantastic. Just no violence. You know, yeah. Keep it clean, and we're in a great place. But man, of course, CJ LaBelle Klein had to answer Phil T, right? Yeah. Like, he can't just, you know, let that lie. And now what? Like, Phil T has to answer.
No, DJ, we're going to stop it. We're going to stop it. Stop it.
And I mean, they're both in the final Wandoff already, so they've got no extra skin in the game unless they're trying to, like, black market hawk some Wombats ads.
Right.
You know? What do they got to lose? They're just going to go after each other.
Look, keep the disses. Like, just put them in the regular song. That's fine. That's fine. We don't need a whole song about this.
You know, needs got nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Okay. Josh Wiggler.
To vote for your favorite Wandoff of the week, go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda, where the tabulator, Kurt Clark, is going to figure out who wins once again. A big thanks, as always, to Randy Neupel and Jason Curtis Rivera for all their help going through this week's submissions. And as always, you can hear everything we got that was appropriate enough for you to hear, that wasn't a total mess, on our SoundCloud account for any patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/patron to learn more, or you can get them in the Rob Has a Podcast patron Facebook group.
All very valuable information to have in your life.
Mm-hmm. All right, Josh. That's another week of the Wiggle Room. Wanda Room.
Kissing my fingers like a chef. Mwah.
Yeah. Well, we've got so much coming up here in these next couple of days. I am going to be off to Boston. We've got some patron stuff going on Tuesday night. Meet up for everybody out there. Can't wait for that. And then Wednesday night, we'll have the big Survivor Know-It-Alls, which we are planning on being live and streaming from Laugh Boston on Wednesday night. That at latest count, there was something like potentially like 16 survivors scheduled to appear.
So at the show is real on this one. I'm very sad to not be there. It seems like it's going to be an incredible time.
Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun that night, and we will hopefully be live up and streaming. If not, we will certainly have the recording up for you guys and the podcast as soon as possible on Wednesday night. On Thursday, we'll have our exit interview as regularly scheduled. And then I will get back on Friday and I will have my podcast. I'm going to be speaking with the winner of Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, Ben Driebergen.
Nice. Oh, my God. Another Wandoff fan.
Yes. So we'll get his take on the Wandoff as well later on this week. And then on the feedback show this weekend, I know there's a lot of hype. People are very excited to have the return of Eliza Orlins, who, outside of the live Know-It-Alls, we have not had her on the podcast in the 30s of Survivor.
Holy shnikes, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I believe her last podcast proper appearance was, she was the recap guest for the Drew Christie boot.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute.
That'll be fun. It'll be fun. You know, Eliza is unfiltered. Eliza Unchained.
So, so we'll hear what you have to say about the stick, about Eric's necklace, and much more coming up. That's going to be next weekend on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Rob's website.com/iTunes. Josh Wiggler is working so hard right now that he is covering Westworld from every which angle, of course, for The Hollywood Reporter. Yes. You should check out all of his stuff when you follow him on Twitter at Round Howard. Also, we'll be even podcasting about Westworld this week.
Yes, we've got our Westworld podcast is launching this week. The great Joe Garfine and I are getting back together. We will have that on Thursday of this week, talking about the first episode of season two of Westworld, which was a doozy. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the podcast will be wonderful as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
Be on the lookout for that. Fear the Walking Dead coverage also up on postshowrecaps.com. Not to mention Josh and I talking about season three of Game of Thrones weekly on Post Show Recaps. Not weekly for much more. Two more weeks to go of that one. So it's a fun time to check out the Game of Thrones podcast.
Yeah, we're coming up to the second to last episode of Game of Thrones season three next week, which should be a really, you know, solid podcast. You know, maybe some special stuff to discuss.
Okay. Should be a lot of fun. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Oblivious to the hexes and the curses that all came before. Climb my way to the shelter. I lost myself when I crashed on the shore.